And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Nicholas Regina, joined by Jesse Von Rude and AC Riley this
week.
Hey,
how's it going?
We're on episode of Grapple Talk. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today, guys. NXT The End, we just saw here over the past couple of days. Well, I guess it's, what is it, Thursday today?
Well, it's Thursday. So, I mean, you had like Wednesday and Thursday to
yeah,
see
so
it.
Yeah, I guess you had the past couple of days. Also, maybe going to talk a little Brock Lesnar. Might talk a little roster movement with the WWE right now. Who knows? We're talking about everything here on Grapple Talk today. Plus, I hear you guys got a pretty solid interview with Mr. Ref Dirk.
Who's Ref Dirk?
Dirk Nowitzki. That's what Vic Ross calls him.
Well, I mean, he's not as good of a baller as Dirk.
No, it's not. But he
he is pretty tall, though.
But apparently, he puts on a pretty darn good show. He's also a good ref. His name is his shoot name Alex Benson, or is that his gimmick
I think it's
name?
Like, I think that's his work name, because I'm pretty sure I overheard somebody say James, and he acknowledged that.
Okay. Hey, I know him as Alex Benson, and I think everyone else does.
I know him as Alex Benson.
I feel
Benson.
Like I'm friends with him on Facebook, and his name is Alex Benson on Facebook. I could be wrong.
But then again, there's also the Facebook people that have like their shoot name, and then they have a separate account, which is like their gimmick name.
All right.
So which one's your shoot name? Which one's your gimmick
name? Oh, I stopped doing that, because that's way too many Facebook accounts to manage. Because I had the... I had the Facebook account just for my personal stuff, and then I made a Facebook account, like an actual friend account for AC Riley, and that was just, and I would just stop, you know, I'd go on there like every 3 weeks and be like, wow, this is a pain. And then I realized that you could just make a Facebook page, and that's a lot more easier to manage.
Did you just get a haircut?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
No. I got to do that. You got a haircut.
Yeah, it happens.
You did.
My face was melting all Friday, so Saturday, the first thing I did was go get a haircut.
I also got a haircut, but I'm wearing a hat today, so.
And, you know, I could tell you actually got a haircut.
You really?
The hat. Yeah, it looks great. No, man. No, it looks good.
Well, I appreciate that, you and your x-ray vision.
Yeah, I know. It's
the glasses.
It's not the glasses. It's a medical condition.
Before we get to that spotlight in the squared circle, do want to and everything else we're going to talk about today, guys. I do want to send our best wishes to Mr. Michael Wayne, as he's known on the independent circuits here in Wisconsin. Had a accident at ACW. Where he, I believe he said that he kind of took a DDT the wrong way, didn't get his hands up in time, and really scary situation. Thankfully, he was able to walk, I guess, be helped to the back, and, you know, has to have surgery up, you know, coming up here. I don't exactly know 100%. I could go back and read the post, but
happened is that he took the DDT, and then as a result, he fractured his vertebrae C6. And then he tore an artery in his neck, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yeah.
So pretty serious injury. He's got a neck brace on for 8 weeks. He's got the surgery here coming up.
He's at home, and he's, you know, they need help at home and things like that. Mm-hmm. His family's asking for help, and obviously we send our best wishes. A lot of people, you know, stepping up and showing their support for him and his family, which is really cool. Really,
folks
cool
at WPW put a card together at the last show, and he definitely appreciated that. I mean, it's a lot of support, and it's, you know, it's a brotherhood with wrestling. So, you know, to show support for a fellow brother in need, that's, you know, that's really something.
Yeah, yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know if it's like one of those, I don't know, sobering moments, I guess you would say. You know, we saw him get hurt, gets walked to the back, he goes to the hospital, you find out the next day, and you start telling people that you know, like what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in the wrestling circle, you hear about an injury, and you're like, oh, damn, dude, that's really bad. You tell, like, a civilian, like, oh,
yeah.
He could have fucking died.
Yeah.
And he could have. He could have. That's the crazy thing about that injury, and, you know, we wish him the best.
Yeah,
he's
definitely.
He's a husband, he's a father, and... Man, hopefully he gets well soon.
Yeah, definitely. He's the type of guy where he comes out and he yells at children, but then you see him in the back, and he's probably one of the nicest dudes.
He's throwing children up in the air.
He's throwing children for
fun. Well, even, like, even before the show started, like, there was an over and under of how many children he could scare, and the number was 5, and he was trying to get over 5 children to frighten, and he was hoping to frighten 2 adults.
Well, he frightened a lot more than 2 adults.
Oh, he frightened, like, that entire audience by the fact that he was just limp, so.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully he makes a return, whether that, you know, means he's going to be in the ring anymore or not, who knows. But, you know, as far as just being the person that he was before the injury, obviously, you know, keeping high spirits, and just hopefully we'll see that Michael Wayne once again down the line. Now, guys, we are turning to some other stuff that happened, some other big news. Obviously, NXT The End happened last night. But before we get to that, guys, since we are kind of reflecting on some old news, I would like to bring up the Brock Lesnar going to UFC, fighting at UFC 200. Huge news that broke, I believe it was last week. And, you know, this is huge, man. This is cross-promotion stuff that WWE and UFC has agreed to, because obviously Brock Lesnar is still under contract with WWE, but Vince gave him that out to fight at one fight during the middle of the summer when he didn't have any bookings. He's going to fight Mark Hunt, which a lot of people are skeptical about because they think Mark Hunt could rock him, but at the same time, Mark Hunt doesn't have very good ground game. So, I mean, this is something to really look forward to. What do you guys think?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't like it because of one reason. And
you almost said two reasons.
Well, I was going to say two reasons, but it's a positive and it's a negative. I'll start with the positive. Obviously, the positive is that cross promotion. They obviously have acknowledged that Brock Lesnar was in the UFC when he was away from the WWE. They acknowledged that. They acknowledged everything he was doing. They had Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. They're working on bringing one of the female fighters to SummerSlam, I believe, is kind of that trade of we get Lesnar, you guys get this, you know, works out. Obviously, they want to get Ronda Rousey in there eventually to do something for WrestleMania, which I wouldn't be surprised by. So there's a lot of good things with the advertising, but as far as the fight goes, I still remember UFC 130. Where Lesnar fought Overeem, and he came back from surgery. He was 100%. He was medically cleared, and then the fight was over in 5 seconds because Overeem got one shot in the gut, and he crumbled because it was still weak and tender. You know, you can be cleared, but you can still have, oh, this is kind of a, you know, it's still a weak area because this is where I had surgery. So I have a feeling that, you know, you were talking about that Mark Hunt doesn't have a good ground game. I mean, it didn't get to the ground at the last fight he was in. So all it took was just bell rung, shot to the gut. So that's all Mark Hunt needs to do. So unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things where everybody's looking at it. He's like, oh, well, what happens if he loses? It kind of just, you know, the hype seems like it's overhyped. So that's the thing I'm kind of worried about, I guess, when it comes to the fight is, you know, it's going to be a huge thing. And then all of a sudden the fight's going to just not be there. It's not going to be worth the hype.
I don't think it's necessarily the fight. It's going to be worth the hype. It's the spectacle of having Lesnar back in a cage after 70 months of layoff. You know, it's been 70 months. Do the math. What, like almost 6 years, right? 6 years away from the cage. He was arguably the biggest draw UFC had at that time, and probably still is
ever,
to this day.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear the boastfulness of Conor McGregor, but McGregor's track record when it comes to pay-per-view buys is not the same as Brock Lesnar's. Not yet. Give him time. It'll be there. I think it's a good fit for both of them. For the UFC, 200 is basically a huge celebration. I don't think a lot of people expected them to last as long as they did. And good things for, you know, them doing it, especially getting back into the New York market. It's a big type of feel, big match. I think it's really good for the WWE. You're basically putting out your biggest star on a national brand a week and a half before your brand split.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool because you can get maybe some bleed over eyes that necessarily might not watch WWE watching it after that, which is always a good thing because people probably want to know what Lesnar's up to, especially the casual UFC fan who only gets fights and maybe not follow WWE. You never know what can happen out of it. I think it's a good fit. Mark Hunt, the guy, he's a legit beast.
Yep.
He has some of the best like stand-up game, and he can take a fucking punch.
Yep. Yeah, I think it should be really interesting, and I think if you're WWE, you really can't lose if you get to pick and choose Lesnar's dates.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Lesnar gets just totally demolished. You can hold him off TV for a couple of weeks, let him regroup, let him recuperate, come back on. Regardless, if he does lose in a bad way, it's still going to be Brock freaking Lesnar. As Riley said, he lost that last UFC match in a pretty terrible way, but he came back, and he obviously now is probably arguably the most dominant force in WWE that we've seen in the past 15 years. If he gets a win, hell, put him right on TV. Put him on Raw the next freaking night, dude, or the next couple of nights. Get him on there and have him be like, hey, man, I beat The Undertaker. I'm this, I'm that. I just beat a dude's ass inside the cage. You can't go wrong, I feel like, if you're WWE. If you're Brock Lesnar, you know, the guy just wants to do other things and he wants to get paid while doing it. So more power to him if he wants to go in there and if he wants to take a couple shots from Mark Hunt, or if he wants to make Mark Hunt tap out with a Kimura lock, whatever, man. I think it's pretty – I think it's exciting. It, that, like you said – UFC 200 was already interesting enough, but now it's to the point now where, I mean, who knows? As a wrestling fan, in my opinion, I would maybe be okay, you know, grouping together with some dudes and paying that that pay-per-view buy rate just to watch Lesnar fight, because I think it's really interesting. It should, you know, it just it really draws up a lot of interest with UFC, and, you know, I think you can't, like you said, you can't really go wrong when you're talking about just the marketing aspect of it.
Well, one thing that they were talking about, too, is that it doesn't even matter what the main event is of UFC 200 now that Lesnar and Hunt is signed on.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what the internet's been talking about. It's just, like, doesn't matter what the main event is. It could be anything. Lesnar's on the card. That's all that matters.
Right. All right, so that was our quick Lesnar talk. We got a lot of other stuff to talk to, so let's get on moving. Let's start talking about NXT The End, obviously, guys. A longer pay-per-view, I think. And I believe if you actually count them out, there wasn't very many matches, but they were all very long. I mean, we're not obviously talking on the Broken Skull Ranch podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin, so we didn't necessarily keep all the times down for the matches like he always does. But regardless, I think if you look back, man, that tag match felt super, and not a bad way, but that tag match felt super long. There's a couple other matches that just felt really long, but in a good way. So just like kind of a longer pay-per-view. What did you guys, I guess, think? Do you want to go match by match, or do you kind of just want to go
hell,
over the card?
Why not? You know, I mean, I think it was five matches. We could probably go match by match and actually kind of keep it solid. One of the things you noticed right away, you started with a really good opener with Ty Dillinger taking on the debuting La Sombra, who's got a new name. I already forgot it. All I know about La Sombra, when he came out, I really did not like his reign attire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how stereotypical Latin was that with the hat, with the feather, and his, yeah, like the suspenders?
He looked like he kind of borrowed Armando Alejandro Estrada's gimmick.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously a little bit more, you know, relaxed. It wasn't the white suit, but it was kind of like, hey, can I borrow your suit, Armando? I'm going to cut off the sleeves, and I'm going to make it a vest, but, hey, I'm going to use that.
I don't know. I wouldn't cut off anyone's sleeves, though.
Well, like we know, WWE has always done that kind of thing where they just accentuate something about a person, and poor for La Sombra, it happens to be his nationality. So
yeah. It was a solid match, though. Ty Dillinger, you know, you got to give this guy props. He's an enhancement talent down there in NXT, and he's gotten over very organically with that crowd with the simple 10 gimmick. I mean, go figure. I mean, the guy is solid in the ring, but it's unfortunate that, like, some people would say it's unfortunate that his role is to put over new talent coming in, but he's got a super great role because he made La Sombra look like $1 million right out of the gate.
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
look at all the guys that he's worked. He worked Nakamura at one point. He worked La Sombra. He's worked, I don't know, off the top of my head, but he's worked pretty much just about all those new super, you know, big names, quote-unquote, that are coming into NXT, so he's getting a great track record, and I think he's putting up great performances with each of these guys. And, you know, hopefully sooner or later the NXT fan base will get what they want, and Ty Dillinger will be in the spotlight. But as for right now, yeah, La Sombra and him put on a great show at NXT The End.
I think what was really nice about it is, you know, you had the perfect 10 versus 100.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
according to Lita, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, even like according to the crowd, because they'd be like, you know, he's a 10, you're 100 kind of thing. But, like, I think it was impressive because, you know, we're used to Ty Dillinger kind of being the, like, you know, the perfect, you know, the perfect 10. You know, he does all these moves seamlessly and just, you know, he's astounding. And that's why he went from being a heel to a face, because everybody's like, I can't boo this guy. He's amazing. And then all of a sudden, here comes La Sombra, and, you know, he's doing headstands on the top turnbuckle. He did that amazing double moonsault where he caught himself and then flipped because, you know, Dillinger thought he rolled out of the way and he still caught him. So, I mean, that was an interesting opener. Like, there was a lot to indulge in for there, for sure.
So, I got to ask you a quick question here, just getting off the page. So, the only way to be a heel now in NXT is to be really shitty.
No. I mean, it works for Eva Marie, I guess, if that's you're an NXT fan. I mean, I think Eva Marie gets great heat just because of the fact that everybody just is sick of her. But, like, I'm not saying that you have to be shitty to get, you know, booed. I mean, you can just be an asshole. But I think it's one of those things where I think that NXT crowd really appreciates solid wrestling. So if you're a solid wrestler, even if you're booked as a heel, they're going to be like, I really can't boo you.
Yeah, I think you can be booked either which way. But, like, I think if you remember the Bayley-Nia Jax match that they had actually just a couple of weeks ago, Nia Jax actually was rivaling Bayley for some of those cheers, even though Nia Jax is literally probably one of the most old school heels on that roster right now.
We'll get to that match in
a moment. We'll get that in a moment,
yep. All right, cool. Up next, though, was the tag team titles were on the line as American Alpha defended against the Revival. And, guys, I thought this was way better than the Dallas match.
Yep. Yeah, this is a really good match. I also thought it was better than Dallas. Super. I will say this, and again, it's not, you know, it's whatever, but it just felt really, really long, which is fine. But for me, it kind of stunk because when I was the NXT The End was on the exact same time that the NBA Finals was on.
Yeah.
So I chose to watch the NBA Finals just because I have Dish – or not Dish, but I have – the antennas now, so I can't, like, record it and watch it later like I can with NXT.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, I was running through Twitter, and I saw, you know, how some of the matches ended, so it wasn't as special, I guess, of a moment when I saw the ending of the match. But, yeah, just, like, great performance by, you know, everybody involved. I mean, if you want to talk about especially the length, a couple of tag teams that prove that they're ready for the main roster, like, this was it. These guys were on live television for, it felt like 30 minutes, and it
25.
Probably 25. Yeah. Well, 5 minutes, dude. Give me a break.
Hey, man, 5 minutes is a lot. Just ask your girlfriend.
Wow, there you go.
Sorry.
Hey, that was actually, you're saying I could do a lot with 5 minutes. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think that they, you know, everything from the in-ring psychology, from just the tag team maneuvers they did, the spots, everything was fantastic. I mean, those false finishes kept me on the edge of my seat the entire night, and, you know, I thought it was a fantastic tag team match.
Yeah, it was one of those things where one of the things I like in independent wrestling is that there's a handful of tag teams that work really, really well as a tag team. Like, you can tell that the two guys that are put in this tag team actually work as a unit. It's not just two guys that got put together. And that tag match was the definition of four guys, two tag teams that just worked like machines, well-oiled machines, because you had the Revival, who was on point, you had American Alpha, who's on point, and it really told a great story, because, you know, the whole build-up of it was that we can't out-wrestle American Alpha, we can out-fight them. But then American Alpha came in doing the wrestling, but also fighting. So it kind of showed a different side to them to show that they could evolve more than just being collegiate wrestlers. So I thought it was a great match.
One of my favorite spots was the spot that kind of got botched in Dallas with the powerbomb.
Yeah.
And then Gable turns into a belly-to-belly. Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like that. And I wondered, I was sitting there, I'm like, what the hell did I just see? And I'm like, wow, holy crap.
I was wondering the same
that.
Thing. It's like, what the hell was that? And
when
then
they
I
slowed
was,
it down. It
and then they did the replay, and like, holy shit, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's an intricate move, especially if you're looking at those three moving parts and flipping at the same time coming down. That was amazing. And then what we got to see afterwards was the Revival gets the belts. First ever two-time tag team champions. They're on to greener, better things. American Alpha gets jumped by what I can only describe as two fucking monsters after the fact. And these two guys are basically being called the authors of pain on the house show circuit down there. And they'll be managing by Paul Ellering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently the two guys in question, one of them is Sonny Dinza, who is a British Columbia collegiate wrestler. And the other guy is a Bellator MMA fighter, Gazim Salmani.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're, like you said, you know, they're two giant monsters. And I think that's kind of nice because then you can have American Alpha take these guys and you can tell a great story with just what's going on over there. And then Revival can kind of, you know, hold the tag team belts and do things with that and improve the tag team division. So they're splitting apart, but they're doing two really important things for NXT right now.
And they're already planting the seeds, too, with Ciampa and Gargano getting that pinfall victory last week in NXT against Revival, where you can almost see these guys being the next number one contenders. And basically, you get the big shot in an NXT takeover in Brooklyn.
It's really interesting. It's cool that they're expanding that tag team division to where now you're looking at possibly two feuds. And the great thing about this, too, and something that, I mean, we haven't seen for quite some time, guys, is the fact that we have this new tag team, and they're also going to be managed by a Hall of Fame, you know, a guy that's in the Hall of Fame. And
not only that, but a guy that was responsible for the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
So it's kind of him going from that and taking that into these two monsters and almost not making a new Legion of Doom, but kind of taking that Legion of Doom experience and molding these two guys.
Now, another side question, but do you think there's going to be any type of backlash from the fans that possibly they're trying to recreate the Legion of Doom again?
Not really, because I think we saw with the Ascension that because of the face paint, everybody, you know, pigeonholed them to Legion of Doom ripoffs, But these two, you know, even like this article was talking when they were describing these two monsters was, you know, they're very Haku Brock Lesnar-esque, and you have two of them. So I don't think that we're going to see that. I think, you know, they're obviously going to explain to the fans that were asking, who are you, to explain that, you know, this guy managed the Legion of Doom. He was responsible for the Road Warriors, you know, explaining his, you know, history to the fans that don't know who he is. But I think that we're going to see a different, you know, a different tag team with these guys that are just going to be brute force compared to the Legion of Doom, which was kind of a mix of force and technical skill. So,
all right, guys.
All right, cool. So let's move on now. The match that everyone was talking about leading into the pay-per-view, of course, was Nakamura taking on Austin Aries. And, guys, this match did not fail to impress. It was a really good match from start to finish.
So really quick, I want to go back to what you were talking about, how the NXT fans will boo only if they're shitty wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a match where Austin Aries came out and he was getting booed only because of him, you know, addressing the challenge to Nakamura, who's, you know, super over. So he was kind of booed by affiliation, but then throughout the match, like as the match progressed, it was a divided line between Aries and Nakamura just because these guys were solid. So it's not a matter of you have to be a shitty wrestler to get booed. It's just more so you can walk in a heel, you can walk in with a cocky mannerism, but if you're delivering a great match, that fan base is just be like, I really can't boo you. Like, I want to. I know I'm supposed to, but you're just doing phenomenal right now. So.
But you want to take it over from there? You want to talk about how you like the match or anything?
I love the match. It was fantastic. I mean, I think Corey Graves really described it perfectly, that that's the match that you're kind of talking with your buddies and just like, oh, man, could you imagine that these two had a match together? And we got to see that because you got to see Nakamura, you got to see Aries. And, you know, Aries really did Wisconsin proud. I mean, that was a great match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I don't really know. I don't know what to say. It was a great match. I can't really pinpoint anything that stuck out to me. But, yeah, overall, I was entertained throughout the entire match.
I think what I liked about it was the fact that, you know, Nakamura is the king of strong style. But, you know, you saw that Aries was really delivering a lot of, you know, heavy blows to him and really trying to knock him out. And you could kind of see that Aries was trying to elevate himself a little bit to match Nakamura's style of wrestling. But then you could see that Nakamura's really showing that, you know, he could take a heavy hit and still reel back and everything. So I think the match told a really great story just to the fact that these two just beat the shit out of each other. But they, you know, they managed to really surprise everybody because I wasn't sure how the match was going to end. You know, I could see both sides. I was thinking, oh, maybe Aries would win this. Maybe Nakamura will. And then I think it was just like with the tag match where it's like, I'm not really sure what the direction was. But the fact that the end was just like, I wasn't going to be mad either way.
The thing I think that works about this matchup, and I'll let you probably got something you want to say, Jesse, but I'll say this really quick.
Not.
The thing with Austin Aries, the nice part about this match, if you go back and look at the Zayn Nakamura match that happened in this one, I think the thing that Austin Aries has been really, really, really struggling with is to get over with that fan base. I think I don't know if it's because his pairings have been off, but he just hasn't. He came in with, I would argue, somewhere near the hype that Nakamura had. When he came out to the ring, people thought that this was going to be a showstopper. They thought he was going to be top of the card every single time. And it seemed like things kind of slowed down for him a little bit. I don't know if it was his matchups. I don't know if he slowed his style down or what it was. But it seemed like he just wasn't, you know, getting over with the fans like all these other big names have been getting over. And I think in this match it really worked for him because he kind of proved that he has it. And, you know, I think this is... This match is really good for Austin Aries moving forward, and I'm starting to realize maybe why Nakamura is down there, because he can have matches with guys like Austin Aries and be like, hey, this Austin Aries dude is really good, NXT fans. Regardless if he loses to me, this dude's good, and it sets Austin Aries up for success past the end, even though he took that loss.
Definitely, and plus, guys, that cape.
That cape, though.
That cape was hot fire. All right, cool. I really enjoyed that end sequence, the battling on the apron, goes into the Death Valley driver, and, like, the sheer cockiness of Aries, instead of going for the count-out victory, decides to go for the suicide dive, and I love that shot because as he's coming in, you never see Nakamura move. So when he just runs right into that barricade, you're like, holy shit, he just killed himself.
Yep.
And it was amazing. And then, of course, Nakamura was able to get that second win on the back end, hit his signature moves, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, just like that. Both guys left it all out. You're looking at Nakamura's stock was already there. Aries' stock,
yep.
Unfortunately, based on perception of the fans there, was here. They're both right there now, mm-hmm. and I could see either one of these guys challenging for the belt coming up.
And yep. that's what I kind of liked about Aries' promo building up to this match was mm-hmm. that he kind of covered on everything you guys were talking about, where he got signed, and everybody's like, oh, it's Austin Aries. And then Nakamura got, you know, brought into the picture, and then it was kind of like, oh, cool, we still got Austin Aries, but man, we got Nakamura now, holy shit. So I think it was kind of like him, you know, I think what was great about that match was just really proving, oh, hey, I'm still here, I'm still, you know, a great addition to this roster. And it was, like you said, it kind of took his stock from here to at Nakamura's level now.
You know what's really kind of cool to think about, mm-hmm. actually, and I just thought about because Raleigh mentioned that, but when you look at when Nakamura and Austin Aries debuted, if you just kind of think about this general scope of global wrestling, mm-hmm. you had a guy in Austin Aries who wrestled for TNA for however many years, was a top guy there in the States. He toured around the States at one point. And then you have a guy like Nakamura who wrestled in Japan for like 15 years, but
yeah.
Nakamura was the more known guy coming into NXT. Like, how weird is that? I mean, how cool is that, that it seems like wrestling's gotten to that point now where people know a guy like Nakamura and he comes in and he's, you know, a bigger baby than a guy like Austin Aries who's been in the States his entire, you know, almost his entire career.
Yeah, if you want to do it by degrees of separation, Austin Aries wrestled, you know, Jake Classic. Jake Classic is only one degree away now from Nakamura. All right, cool. NXT Women's title was on the line as Nia Jax challenged Asuka. And guys, another example of two different styles clashing. There was a very organically Japanese strong style pace that both of these gals actually worked. And I thought it was Nia Jax's best match. She held a lot of fire. She took the best shots that Asuka actually had. And it seemed almost like Asuka, out of desperation, started hitting those strikes like mad towards the end. And that's the only thing that really separated a win from a loss in her category.
I think what I really liked about this is that, you know, they were teasing it ever since Bayley and Nia Jax. I can't remember what takeover that was.
What, London?
Yeah, London.
Yep.
Yeah, because Nia Jax did that promo, and Asuka was off to the side and everything, mm-hmm. and you're kind of thinking, like, okay, these guys are going to fight sometime. And I think everybody that was waiting for that finally got to see it. And I think what I liked about it, too, is that they incorporated some of Nia Jax's previous matches because, you know, they were talking on commentary how Nia Jax got choked out with the, you know, with the bear hug, you know, with Bayley. You know, that's how Bayley won and everything like that. It's like, oh, this is how.
The guillotine, you mean?
Guillotine,
not the bear hug.
Sorry.
That would have been kind of funny. Like, Bayley's making her tap out with the bear hug.
Sorry, I associated Bayley and hugs, so that's where I came up with that. But no, the guillotine. So they were talking about that. It's like, oh, is Nia Jax going to, you know, lose the guillotine? That's how she lost to Bayley. And then she reversed out of it, and you're like, oh, wait, never mind. So I really like that they incorporated some of the previous matches so they had stuff to build on to say that, yeah, Nia Jax may have lost this, but she's learned, and that's not going to happen again. So I think it was one of those matches where, like you said, two different styles, but I think it told a great story just because it was just, you know, they weren't the same size, they weren't the same build, they weren't from the same backgrounds, but they really clashed together really well.
Yeah, well said. I've got nothing to add.
All right, cool. All right, so we'll let you have the first shot at the main
All
event,
right, cool.
which is, of course, Finn Balor challenging Samoa Joe for the NXT Heavyweight Championship, or the NXT Championship, whatever you guys want to call it, inside the confines of a steel cage.
Yeah, the thing I loved about this match, I'm going to say right away, is that these guys have faced off how many times already in the main event of TakeOvers, and
third main event on a TakeOver.
You thought that maybe eventually it would get stale, but when you take a look at how they did this cage match, it felt like a whole new rivalry. It just felt like it felt so fresh with how they were able to implement that cage. You had two guys in the middle of the ring that really showed their stuff. And, you know, I think both of these guys are just at the top of their game. Samoa Joe, still, in my opinion, probably the best worker, at least on NXT, in my opinion. Samoa Joe has been killing it lately, definitely deserving of that NXT championship. And when you say everything from, you know, the very end when they use that second rope muscle buster, I mean, what a better way to end that feud than a second rope muscle buster. I mean, there's no other way you can do it. I mean, when you know, trying to separate these two for once, you practically kill a guy. And you know, I'm trying to just, you know, think of some of the spots, and they're all just kind of rushing to my head at once, but just a ton of great stuff between these two, and it almost makes you, I mean, it's weird because I feel like before they came out to the ring, I was like, man, I'm kind of looking forward to when they're finally going to move on and, you know, take on new guys. And then when the match ended, I was like, man, I kind of want to see Samoa Joe and Finn Balor again because it was just that entertaining.
Yeah, I think what those two are really good about is really emphasizing each other's characteristics, because I feel like every time Finn Balor has wrestled with Samoa Joe, he makes Samoa Joe look like a fucking monster. Like, every time that they've gone into it, it's just, you know, they really bring out the best of each other, because, you know, like, TakeOver London, you know, they did that whole thing. Yeah, he's got the demon, but I'm a monster all the time. That's a piece of him. And they really showed that. And then they come into the cage match, and Samoa Joe is just putting the boots to Finn Balor, literally tearing him apart limb by limb. I really loved even when Finn was trying to escape, and just the fact that Samoa Joe was able to grab him and keep him out of escaping the cage. That was great, just because it's like, I'm not done with you yet. Where are you going? And on top of that, the fact that Finn Balor really showcased that, you know, the former champ trying to regain the gold back from the monster, Samoa Joe, because he literally threw everything except the kitchen sink to him, as everybody says, because, you know, he threw, what, like four guns, sling blades, the turnbuckle dropkick, and he did the coup de grace like 2-3 times. I mean, he literally threw everything at him, and it still wasn't enough. And even when he tried to escape, you know, he got caught with a second rope muscle buster. And then even the fact to emphasize the fact that they had medical staff and the refs checking on him and everything, like, oh, Finn Balor might actually be, you know, hurt for real. And that it really showcased, especially in that first steel cage match, that this is the first time for NXT, but it was one of the most violent steel cage matches, just to the fact that, you know, one of the guys was walking out, the other one was probably going to be taken out on a stretcher. So
I'm pretty sure this is the first time that Balor lost while being full demon.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it that way, he held the belt and he didn't lose.
Yeah, he lost the belt as just regular Finn Balor.
It's just regular Finn Balor. So Samoa Joe vanquishes the demon inside the cage. There was a sequence I really liked. It was when Joe got trapped in between the ropes in the cage, and Balor just hit him with everything he could hit him with, to the point where Joe looked like he was legitimately knocked on the ropes out.
Yep.
Balor goes over the top. He pulls him back in, but he takes that penalty kick to the face, which was sick.
Yeah, it was.
That was a sick kick. And the only thing that really saved him was the fact that he shook the ropes and Balor landed on his fins.
Yeah.
You know?
How long have you been waiting to use that?
The top of my head. Off the top of my head. But that was a really good spot, really fun match. So it really brings up to the point, what exactly is next for NXT, especially with the brand split coming up here. I wrote down the roster, guys, because I have no life. So, you know, I looked it up and everything like that. So
It's your time. Do what you want with it.
That's not really my time, you know. This is everyone's time right now on the podcast.
Well, I mean, you wrote this before we came here.
I could have wrote it while we were doing this.
But you didn't, though.
I did not. All right, cool. So, anyhow, we separated in both male and female competitors. We just go alphabetically down the list. We have La Sombra. Of course, I wrote down his name, and I have no clue how to pronounce it, guys.
They kept calling him CN, so I mean...
So we'll just go CN. So CN, do you think he actually goes up to the main roster right now, or what do you actually think is his next plan in NXT?
Oh, I mean, he's not going to go up to the main roster right now. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that could be the face of NXT probably down the line. They're probably hoping he's the face of NXT down the line. He's definitely a guy that they want, I think, called up eventually, because he appeals to, you know, that's something WWE obviously has always strive to do, is appeal to that Hispanic audience, and I think CN can definitely do that down in NXT, but I definitely believe his services will be called upon in WWE sooner rather than later. But yeah, I think right now he needs some more seasoning in NXT just so fans can kind of get used to him, his style, and we'll probably be seeing a lot more of him over the next couple of months.
Yeah, more than likely you'll probably end up seeing him maybe in a matchup with another guy on the list coming up here pretty shortly. What do you think, Alex?
I think the same thing. I think he's going to stay in a while just to get some more establishment, because it's very rare that we ever see a guy debut at a TakeOver event and then the next day he's on Raw or SmackDown. Although I feel like whenever they go to Latin America for a tour, he'll probably get called up.
Oh, more
and
than likely.
It sounds really terrible to say, but I mean, reality, it's like, you know, who's that guy in Breaking Ground that was like from India that they hired?
I didn't watch Breaking Ground.
Well, basically, whoever.
Great Khali.
It wasn't Great Khali. No. Although I found out he actually is still working with the WWE. I didn't realize that.
DeHaslam?
What?
DeHaslam? You know, from Street Fighter? The guy did Flame.
No, but Khali's still working with WWE. Didn't know that. Anyways, all I know is that Breaking Ground, they were showcasing a guy that, you know, was one of the wrestlers there, like really big name over there. Not pro wrestler, like one of their like traditional wrestling. And then I saw, like, they were like, hey, WWE is in Indiana. And I saw him there. I was like, hey, I know that guy from Breaking Ground. So I think it's, you know, they wait until that.
When they were in Indiana or India?
India. I said Indiana, I know. But I think it's one of those things where they wait for the wrestler from that nationality when they go on that tour. It's like, hey, come with us because we're probably going to bring you up and you're going to get a huge draw. So.
All right, cool. Let's move right down the list. Angelo Dawkins.
You going to bring up Angelo Dawkins?
No. And in the conversation, yes, but not up to Raw or SmackDown.
No.
Okay, so that'd be a no. All right, Austin Aries.
I want to say yes, but in reality, I feel like it's going to be a no. And it's not because he's not a great wrestler, because he obviously is, but I feel like Vince is not going to, you know, like him just because of the fact that he's just so tiny. And I know that's a terrible reason to say that that's why he wouldn't get brought up to the main roster, but I feel like any guy that Triple H is really highly on, Vince finds some reason, like the typical Vince reasons not to like a guy. So I feel like that would probably be the reason he'll stay on NXT, which is fine because, you know, you have, you know, look at the guys that were on NXT, you know, they kind of had that mainstay for the longest time. And, you know, then it was kind of like they were the attraction to NXT that made you want to still watch the network.
Well, he's a great veteran worker who's going to really help with a lot of these younger guys in the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. So
why not keep him there? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Blake.
I think Blake and Murphy. Yeah, I think we can pair Blake and Murphy together, even though they're not together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they can obviously, they're going to be in NXT. Buddy Murphy might be getting his own thing going here. I'm not really sure. We've seen both of them in singles action, actually, a couple of times over the past couple of months. I know Blake had a match with Nakamura, and then we saw Buddy Murphy up against... who did Buddy? He wrestled like 2 weeks ago, and I can't remember exactly who it was.
He lost, though. It was a shocking loss. I can't remember. Was it No Way Jose or something like that?
Was it No Way Jose?
I don't know.
Well, it was somebody.
It was somebody. He came into the match. He was really confident he was actually going to beat the guy.
Yeah, but anyways, you know, I think both these guys still, you know, belong in NXT. I'm not sure where they go from here. It kind of sucks. They were former tag team champions, and now it seems like everything's falling apart. There's just a lot of talent in NXT right now, so hopefully they can find their role, but I don't think these guys are getting called up anytime soon.
All right, cool. So Chad Gable's up next, so let's pair him with Jason Jordan. Do you guys think he's actually going to get called up? Do you think American Alpha is main event bound?
I think they are. I mean, I think...
I think we're talking, like, over the next, like, couple of weeks, right? Or are we talking about...
I'm talking about like over the next couple of weeks, especially because we got the brand split coming up.
Not necessarily ever, but you think they're going to get called up over the next couple of weeks?
Within the next like month.
In that case, probably no, because I feel like this whole thing with these two new guys is going to go for a few months, to be honest. And I could see that happening, and I could see a lot of stuff from that. So I think they'll get called up eventually, but I don't think they'll be called up in, like, the next 4 weeks if we're defining it in that way.
I think the thing with Chad Gable and Jason Jordan that you have right now is that I think you leave them in NXT because the more time that you can work with them on their promos and their mic work, I think you have two guys that could literally come into WWE when they have that mic work down and be, like, a top-tier tag team right off the bat, as we've seen both Enzo and Cass do with their in-ring work and their mic skills. So I think you don't want to call up Chad Gable and Jason Jordan too early. They're both super young. They still have a lot to offer in NXT, and like I said, that just gives them more time to get ready for that main roster, because I think when they can go to the main roster together, they could be something real special. So you don't want to have to rush that.
All right, cool. So their counterparts, the Revival.
Rival's the same thing, man. I wanted to say they were ready for it, but they just won the belt, so I don't think they're going anywhere. But I think the Revival's ready. If they would have lost last night, I would be I'd be saying, yeah, they're getting called up over the next couple of weeks.
I'd say the same thing. And I mean, they're definitely ready for the roster. I mean, but I think it's like just like how we've seen like with Enzo and Cass and the Vaudevillains and even the Wyatt family, you know, like a bunch of tag teams that, you know, took a long time in NXT, but when they made that move, it was even sweeter. Because I feel like their gimmick is going to translate to the main roster, because, I mean, it's not really a gimmick. It's just, you know, we go in, we punch people, and we leave. And even, you know, like, and even the fact that you had was it Dash, the one with the mutton chops? Which one has the mutton chops? Is that Dash or Dawson?
You don't know?
Do you?
Wilder's the guy that has hair.
All right, so
because his hair is wilder than Dawson's hair.
All right, that makes sense. So you had Dawson even in the tag match that they made a translation to him at, you know, with that spine buster, the Arn Anderson-esque spine buster. So I think, you know, seeing stuff like that will really translate to that old school fan base and everything bringing in. I could see them being in the main roster down the road, but I think right now I feel like they're gonna just keep them there and, you know, kind of hold down the fort of tag team division and, you know, kind of bring up the new talent. So I think it's one of those things where so many tag teams got brought up to the main roster. So I think now they're, you know, especially with the new tag team and, you know, some of the fresh, you know, tag teams that they've wrestled, I think it's elevating those guys to a point where, like, all right, we're gonna move up now.
I think when you look at it, too, I mean, right now a lot of people are saying that WWE's main roster tag team division is the best that it's been in years, so I don't think you need to necessarily over-dilute it with more of these NXT guys. Let them stay down there. Let them keep working each other. Let them keep having these amazing matches that they just had. In your opinion, because I think we saw American Alpha doing a little teasing with the fans a little bit when they put on those double ankle locks. I think that was more or less like of a ha-ha, we, you know, you smarky fans angle thing. But I don't know if it's actually going to happen, and I really don't think it's going to happen, but obviously people talking about how cool it would be, the new team Angle, right, with Angle coming and managing these guys. But in your opinion, do you think that would hurt these two if they were to be called to the main roster and be put with Angle because it would kind of overshadow maybe what those two can do?
Yeah, I think it would. And I think that's the problem that even Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin fell into right away. And I think it's the same problem that the Major Brothers, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, fell into with the Edgehead gimmick. Even though it's great and it was a lot of fun to watch,
You're just stuck with that.
It's hard to get out of that.
I think it's better for them to tease the idea of them doing a team angle than to have them actually do a team angle thing. Because even though the fact that you had Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas start as team angle and then turn into the world's greatest tag team, that was one thing. But I think the fact that if they start off as American Alpha and then they're brought into Team Angle, then it's kind of, oh, they're Angle lackeys now. That's all they're going to be.
Yeah, right.
All right, cool. Elias Sampson, he's hurt. So I guess he probably won't be calling up anytime shortly here. So we'll move right into Finn Balor.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the main event guys here just because we have a long list, but I want to talk about some of the main guys because let's look at this. Who's this guy?
That guy is actually one of the members of Authors of Pain.
Oh, that's one of the guys. Yeah, well, he's not getting called up. Mojo Rawley's not getting called up. He's not hyped enough.
Gargano's probably not.
Who's Nick Miller? That guy.
Nick Miller is a member of the Mighty Don't Kneel, also known as what the hell is their new
TM
name?
TM61.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, TM61.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird name.
Isn't that weird? What does that stand for? The Mighty 61.
Sure. Yeah, the Mighty 61.
I didn't
Let's go with that. All right, cool. No Way Jose, does he get called up?
No. He's great. His gimmick's great, though. I love it.
I'm surprised no one went, No Way Jose. All right. Samoa Joe, champion.
Let's do Finn. Let's not skip Finn. He's the biggest guy. Is he getting called up, Jesse?
More than likely, yes.
Okay. What is he doing, though?
That is a good question. I don't know. I would assume they should, and I wouldn't be surprised if by sometime this summer you see the club have a presence on all three brands. I think they'd be dumb not to.
Do you think that they're going to expand it as in like they're doing now where it's like a lot of dudes are part of it, or do you think he comes in, him and AJ, Gallows and Anderson, are these four guys just going to wreak havoc on the brands, I guess, for the time being? Are they going to be all put in the same brand? Like, how do you think that's going to work?
No, I'd rather see him kind of spread out. Because what's better than a gang trying to take control of the whole thing if you're on, like, three different brands?
Well, I mean, that's a good thing, then, if you're trying to take, you know, care of the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah. All right, everything would be cool.
No Way Jose.
Okay, let's move on. Samoa Joe's probably not getting called up anytime soon. He's probably going to be the workhorse of NXT for quite some time here. I think they might do something with him and Hideo Itami coming up here, especially with Itami coming back from the injury. You never know who actually jumped
him. When is he coming back?
He's supposedly cleared. He's been training. So who knows? Maybe he'll be back for the tapings, which start probably tonight.
Yeah, they're starting tonight.
All right, cool. Let's move down to Nakamura.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't know about Nakamura. He is so over in NXT, but I'm not sure if that's just because... Here's the thing I worry about Nakamura. He's had a couple of matches in NXT. I think you know, aside from his takeover matches, they've been good, but they haven't been anything special because I think they're obviously trying to protect him and his 36-year-old body not working the bigger matches. I'm nervous for Nakamura because I don't know how he would be perceived on a main roster. I know that he's over right now in NXT because you have a lot of fans that know of Nakamura, know of New Japan. I think that'll be carried over a little bit onto the main roster, but I mean, it kind of worries me a little bit that when he first shows up, maybe he's not going to get the same reaction that he is getting, and you hope that he can obviously win people over. But, I want to say he's going to get called up eventually here, but I think when we talk about where they go forward from here, I think Nakamura and Samoa Joe might be an easy next takeover main event match.
Yeah, that would sell out Brooklyn in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think the same thing. I think it's one of those things where, kind of like Samoa Joe, where you think that he could translate to the main roster, but I think it's one of those things where they probably have to keep a couple anchors in NXT for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they get somebody bigger than Nakamura, I think Nakamura is going to be in there for a while.
I thoroughly agree on that one. This is an interesting list now. Let's look at the female competitors.
Okay.
Which ones actually probably have the best chance of calling up? We'll just start alphabetically, and I would say descending order, so we'll start at the bottom. So Peyton Rose.
No.
All right. Nia Jax.
No.
Mandy Rose.
Nope.
Liv Morgan.
Nope.
Carmella.
Nope.
Billy Kay.
Nope.
Bayley.
Interesting that you bring up Bayley.
Uh-huh.
Well,
we were finally getting to the B's from descending order.
The thing about Bayley is I think she could definitely be called up. I think she obviously would have a great presence on the main roster. I think what you saw from Nia Jax and Asuka is that they, I don't know if they necessarily have the ability to carry, you know, the women's division like they did when Bayley was there, but they have mm-hmm. the ability to move on from Bayley as champion. I mean, you have Alexa Bliss, who I think is money right now. Peyton Royce, I think, has shown some promise. Carmella has looked great, too. She can have matches. Pretty good matches with people. Billy Kay hasn't looked too bad either. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Liv Morgan, who is basically a Kmart version of Carmella. I mean, she's not terrible either.
Which Carmella in herself is kind of Kmart-ish.
So she's more like, she's more, yeah. So yeah. I don't know. What would Liv Morgan be then if Carmella was Kmart?
I don't know. Dollar Store?
Dollar General?
Dollar General.
Dollar General
Family
version
Dollar.
Of Carmella, yeah.
All
so,
right.
I mean, I think Bayley out of the entire list would make the most sense unless you're trying to pair Carmella with Enzo and Cass, but I don't think that they need her. No offense to her. I just think if you're looking at that full list, Bayley makes the most sense.
The one I'm really intrigued of that actually would fit in really well is Alexa Bliss. I think she's really got the potential, especially with that character, to really be a shining star in the women's division up on the main roster.
I agree, but I think that she also has the ability to really show her stuff and work a main event mm-hmm. program in NXT before that she does, like, you know, a long-term
yeah.
program. I think she can definitely do that.
I think for Alexa Bliss, it's going to be kind of how Bayley is right now. I think mm-hmm. down the road, I feel like Alexa Bliss is going to be kind of that anchor for the women's division because, I mean, Bayley was there to hold down the fort when Sasha Banks and Charlotte and Becky Lynch all got called up, and then there was one of the four horsewomen, if you want to go that route, that was still there and really able to build up that women's division, which she definitely did. And I think now Alexa Bliss is starting to get that fan base where people are really starting to take a liking to her, so I feel like Alexa Bliss is able to start elevating some of the newer talent for the women's roster, just like how Bayley was trying to elevate Alexa Bliss, so... I think that's kind of the route. I mean, down the road, absolutely, but I don't think it will happen for a while just because they need to have some established women's wrestlers so then the women's division is still interesting in NXT.
I think regardless, moving forward, NXT is looking fantastic. I mean, obviously, Bobby Roode made yet another appearance last night
yep.
in the middle of a William Regal interview, so you have to wonder what that dude is doing down in NXT. Is he?
Well, it sounds like both him and Eric Young are shoo-ins to sign contracts down there. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, we got more TNA guys coming to town, and, you know, I've heard some other rumblings about other guys maybe getting signed by NXT because, you know, apparently WWE is in the pockets of literally everybody that's wrestling right now. So
mm-hmm.
should be interesting to see where NXT goes moving forward. And obviously with the brand split, like you said, we don't, you know, you never know. I mean, for all we know, you know, Chad Gable could be called up to the main roster in the next couple of weeks. We just have no idea, but it's definitely an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. And, yeah, NXT The End was a fantastic pay-per-view, or whatever you want. We call them nowadays. I don't even know.
Network special?
Network special. Event. Doesn't sound as cool, though. Event. Now, WWE presents.
Yeah, we'll just call them big shows.
Big shows. Yeah. Well, guys, super long episode today, so I'm going to take it upon myself to say that we're going to break up this week's episode into two separate episodes, just because one 2-hour long episode is super long. So we are going to have the second part of the episode up probably right after the first part, but just for your viewing pleasure, 2 hours can seem kind of daunting. So we'll have our interview with Alex Benson, and we'll do a wrestler's perspective and all other fun jazz in our next episode. So stay tuned for that. Stay classy.